Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday's Snippets. This is a time where we stop and reflect upon the readings appointed for this day. I pray that the Spirit would open your ears as you hear the Word of God. Allow it to come into you. Allow it to take root within your life so that it may sprout and bear much fruit as you go forth living out your daily walk with Jesus. Now we begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God of power and might, your Son shows us the way of service, and in him we inherit the riches of your grace. Give us the wisdom to know what is right and the strength to serve the world you have made. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our gospel reading appointed for this day, Christ the King Sunday, is from the 25th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Jesus says to the disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accused, apart from me, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. As we think about this passage from Matthew, that can be very challenging. The first thoughts that pop into my head are actually some places in our building. And I want us to stop and reflect and think about these places that at least I think of when I hear this passage. The first place I think about is here at these doors. We walk by these, and we probably don't think much about it, but it says Mission Outreach, and this is our mission closet. And if you open this door, it's not very organized, but part of it is on one side, you have the pill bottles that were collected for Matthew 25 Ministries, that they collect these so they can send them overseas to clinics all around the world to be able to give smaller dosages, or, you know, the dosage for people so they can take their medicine home and help sick people around the world. The other bin over here is for Mission Grain Train. They collect things and send it all over the world and our country, helping people in needs. And they take a little bit of everything. So we collect, and then people also take this to Orphan Grain Train that's in Jonesville to their warehouse to distribute them all places. We also have some medical stuff that people can borrow if they needed. And then in these closets, they may be empty right now. Oh, there's a little bit here. We store the blankets for the Lutheran World Relief and the care kits and all that kind of stuff. All this stuff that we send around the world to help people who are in need. The next place is over here by the kitchen, where we have these bins. And we have the food pantry box and a place to collect supplies for Lutheran World Relief. And then for Turning Point, a domestic abuse shelter that services multiple counties in this area. And all of these bins are here just for people to come and to bring things. And when we think about the text, it says, when were you hungry and we fed you? When were you naked and we clothed you? When were you sick and we visited you? All of these bins in some ways represent how we fulfill some of that. I mean, the easiest one is food. But with Lutheran World, the supplies, the care kits and the baby layettes and the blankets, helping people that are cold or, you know, to be able to learn, to do that stuff, to grow. And part of it is when we do it for these people we never encounter, they become Christ to us. Just as the person said, when did we do it? I never saw you, right? Well, when you did it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it unto me. And so as we do a simple act, right, how hard is it? So when we go to the store to pick up a few extra items and to put it in the bin. Yet this food is a lifeline for some people in our own community. The last place I think about is right here. And this is the newer thing that we have been doing. And they're called compassion kits. And so in a meeting, one of the people on the committee was talking about the schools and how they don't always have the things that they need, right? Socks and underwear, feminine products, and these kinds of things that sometimes the kids don't have, or they're in need at school. And so we have this thing, and there's ages of, you know, what they need, and, you know, shirt sizes and pant sizes and different things, and we collect these and then bundle them up and send it to the schools for kids in our own community who may need socks, who may need, you know, toothbrushes, who may need feminine products, all that kind of stuff. And part of it is how these things most of us take for granted. But for others, this is the lifeline. And all of these places that I've just showed you are all places where we collect things to be able to assist others. This text can be troubling for some because the king separates the sheep from the goats. And it seems like the judgment is based upon what we do or don't do. Do we feed the hungry? Do we clothe the naked? Do we visit those in prison and sick? I think we need to take a different turn. It's not a works righteousness, but I think what Jesus wants us to see is that this is how we live out our faith. Because if you read the text carefully, the person, the sheep, the one who was on the right, they're like, oh, okay, I'm here. And it's like, well, you're here because you fed me, because you clothed me, because you visited me. And notice what the person says. They didn't go, yep, you're right, I did that. Right? I fed you on, you know, November 26th, whatever. But the person says, well, when did I do that? I don't remember seeing you hungry or naked or alone. We have kids in our schools. I don't see, and my guess is most of you don't see either, who don't have some of these things. There are people in other countries that struggle for medicine, and sometimes the clinics, they get, you know, large amounts of medicine, you know, the bigger from pharmacies that donate. But how do you distribute to somebody who needs six pills for this or that? And so the simple thing of the pill bottle helps them be able to do that mission so that they're no longer sick, right? The blankets are made by a dedicated group of women who take scraps, things we don't think about, and they sew them together to make quilts that people can lie on, that they can carry their stuff, that they can wrap themselves when they're cold, right? These are people we never see. And yet, through these things, we actually do them to Jesus. The person doesn't realize it. So it's not a works righteousness. It's not, oh, I have to do these things to earn my salvation. The person didn't even know they were doing it. And I think what that tells us is what Jesus is saying is this is what it means to live out your faith. When we follow Jesus' footsteps, when we see the example that he sets, when he went and he invited Zacchaeus to his home, or he ate with sinners and tax collectors, or saw the crowd that was hungry, and the disciples were like, well, Jesus, send him home. We can't feed them. He says, no. Sit him down. Okay, what do we got? And he takes the loaves and blesses it and says, here, distribute. And people ate and they collected leftovers. We see Jesus doing these things, meeting the needs of the people in the community, because that's what he was sent to do. That's how he lived out his mission, and ultimately his mission to give his life for the sake of the world. When we follow in those footsteps, when we know that, acknowledge that faith that is in us, the question is, what do we do with it? Do we just sit in the pews and go, well, I've done my duty? Or do we actively seek to live it out? And I think Jesus is saying, here's what it looks like. It's not, some people think being religious is making sure we have all the right answers on controversial issues or the right dogma, the right doctrine. James in his letter says, a true faith is one that cares for the orphans and widows. Jesus, I think, is challenging us to say the faith of following him is feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, giving water to the thirsty, providing for those who don't have, welcoming the stranger and being hospitable towards them. How do we live out our faith? This passage may be very challenging. We may read it and think works righteousness, but really it's telling us, here's what our faith should look like. Here's how fruit sprouts from our life. And how do we go and live this out? What does it mean for you? Where is it that you need to assist those that you see who are in need? Whether it's any of these organizations or any of 1,000 others that are out there. Because to me, it's not just, oh, here's what you have to do. But it's, what are you doing? How are you living that out? How are you serving the least among us? And in doing so, we serve Christ, who is King of all. For what you did to the least of these, you did unto me. How do we live out that faith? Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you are King of all and come to judge the nations of the world. Be with us and help us to not fear, but to know that you are our salvation and the salvation for all. For it's through your death that you reconcile the entire world to you. As we seek to live into this salvation, you grant to us as a gift, and you empower us to live out our faith in lives of service to you and our neighbor. Give to us servant hearts, where we actively work to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the lonely and those in prison, and welcome the stranger. Give to us your discernment and vision to see the least in our society as you, and help us to respond accordingly. In your holy name we pray. Amen. And as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.